way of detecting a facial expression automatically is by using what we call geometric features. So these are features that look at the shape of a face, for instance, the shape of your mouth, the distance between, let's say, your eyelids. Obviously, when I blink, the distance between my two eyelids will go lower and lower and lower and lower until it's zero, and then after a while it goes up and up, and my eyes are open again. It's a very straightforward, direct relation between the feature, the distance between two facial points, and the expression when I'm blinking. However, finding those facial points in the first place is not so simple. You have to again turn these pixels in an image into locations of these facial points. Traditionally, what people did is they built little facial point detectors. So they were really models that could tell for a given little image patch of, let's say, 16 by 16 pixels, whether that was the location of the eye. And then what you would do is you would scan through every possible
something you
want to
tell me about?
Yes. I would like to talk to you about a equation that is called Fitt's law.
It's called binary
and how that affects the way that you point at things and use a cursor on your computer.
The highest value, and that's where you want to be. That is problematic.
It's Fitz's, but that sounds funny. So I'm just going to say Fitz. But know that I know that there are two S's in there. Okay, it belongs to Paul Fitz, who was a researcher in 1954, who was trying to work out how we could predict the speed of people's movements from one location to another. And what he was doing, he was trying to work this out from a kind of perspective of how we can make production lines more efficient, where people are putting pieces together. But what he didn't realize then at the time was that it really, really is useful when talking about how people move things on a computer screen, how people move a mouse cursor on a computer screen. And the result of this formula means that we can predict how quickly you can move between one target and another, depending on a few variables.
What are we talking about here?
A target is anything that you might want to click on the computer screen. So you want to go to a menu item, you want to close a window, you want to highlight some text. Any situation in where you're moving your cursor to another location on screen, that's what I'm calling a target. I'll write down the formula for you, and then we can talk about which elements of it matter, which things you can choose to change as a designer, and how you can use this formula to optimize the layout, the user interface of something on the computer. So the equation is the time it takes you to move from your location to a target is equal to A plus B times log base 2 of amplitude over width plus 1. The variables within this equation. We have A and B here. We can kind of ignore them. So A and B just mean that you can adapt this equation depending on what people are actually using to do the pointing. So if, for example, they're using a stylus, you might need to make it take a bit longer than if they're using a mouse or something like that. So A and B are kind of used for that. Exactly, yeah. That's exactly what they do. So we can kind of ignore those. What we're interested in here are the variables A and W, amplitude and width. And these things describe. So the amplitude describes how far away the target is from the start position. And the width describes the width of the target, unsurprisingly. Exactly, yes. Exactly, so the width gives you an idea about exactly how accurate you need to be when you get to that target. The wider something is, the less accurate you need to be. And the way that we use this formula is that we want to minimize the amount of time that someone takes. And so we want to minimize this term. And to do that, we can do two things as designers. Firstly, we can make this value, the A, amplitude small, which means we can make the target closer, or we can make W, the width, large.
In a way, it's just a big weight of average. Or if all nine are the same.
It's pretty obvious.
It does seem obvious.
It actually reminds me of sport. So if anything in sport, that's one, then that's a mean guy, or you stand closer to the basketball.
Yeah, it is quite obvious. But the interesting thing is that we have an actual equation to describe it. It's not just something that we can intuitively work out. It's something that has been tested really, really thoroughly to get some equations out of it. The way that Fitz tested it is he got people to hold a stylus and then move quickly back and forth between two targets. And he altered the distance of those targets away from each other and the width of those targets. And he came out with this wonderful formula to actually accurately describe it.
They cancel each other out.
Now, let's actually think about what this means for design and actually what we can do with this formula in order to make really useful interventions. Thinking about amplitude, the way that we can minimize this is to give people things exactly at the cursor, so the closest pixel to you is the one where your cursor is. And so that's why you get quite a lot of useful functionality at the cursor point. That is, you right click, you don't need to make any movement whatsoever, and so that is a target that's really easy to get. Exactly, like a tool tip. And that means that you can put all of the very useful functionality right there, which is incredibly easy to use. Exactly. Wherever you are is exactly where that menu is. So that's one way of doing it. I don't think that's that interesting. Now, if we think about width, this is the really interesting part.
But in general,
where do you think is a bell curve? So we're not going to best places to click on a screen. What's the easiest place to get to? That's exactly it. I say. So if you put a target in the corners of the screen, what you have essentially done there is created a target that is infinitely wide. Right? You've made it so that no matter how far up, how far right they go, the user will always be on that target. And that's why the corners are such useful areas on a computer screen, because they are infinitely wide, which makes this equation get a lot smaller, and so it means you can get to those corners really, really quickly. It's interesting because I think some people were upset with Apple because the X at the top right on some interfaces, that really is wedged right into the top, and so therefore it's infinitely big. But then I think Apple brought it down and made it into a circle, so they moved the target from being infinitely massive to a tiny little circle just by bringing it in like a couple of pixels from the edge. I do genuinely believe this is something that actual people are very much concerned with. There are loads of different variations of it. So, obviously now we're starting to move to like touch screens, and so things get a bit more different because the corners of your iPad are definitely not the best place to put things, because there's no such thing as this infinite height, and so the equations are having to change and alter depending on the new technology that's coming out. But it is definitely still being used by people in order to justify and come up with clever ideas. Okay, so interfaces going on there,
and we're going to be doing 50 times 1 plus 50 times 1 plus 100 times 1.
We'd like to thank audible.com for this episode of Computer Farm. If you're not aware of Audible, do check them out. They've got audiobooks online, they've got thousands to choose from. If you go to audible.com/computerfile, there's a chance to download one for free. Now, today I'd like to recommend this book about Elon Musk. He's one of the co-founders of Google, and it's called Tesla, SpaceX, and the Quest for the Fantastic Future. I think I've got that right. Hopefully it'll be here on the screen. So he's billed as a real-life Tony Stark, you know, the guy behind Iron Man. So get over to audible.com/computerfile, download your free book, and thanks once again to them for sponsoring this Computer Farm.
The edge has been slightly preserved, and generally speaking, we're giving more weight.
They're not testing the actual machines yet. What they're doing in this paper is giving people a booklet that just has this on it. When people filled this in, 55% of people chose the phone layout. 55% of people went, well, obviously it should go like
Facebook
this.
And, you know, on all these camera apps for your phone, you'll see a lot of other, perhaps more complicated filters, the Bloom, you know, sepia, vintage ones that make it look like some camera from the 1800s or something like that. And really what they're doing is nothing hugely complicated. They're they're just chaining together low-level image processing. So a grayscale filter, maybe a bit of blur, and then some kind of